Now back to Brian Buschlack's business briefing on FM News 101.
And we continue our conversation with Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. And we're going to focus now on real estate. And Pat, we saw the numbers recently. Case-Shiller up 5.5%. That's November to November, 11 to 12. Strongest increase we've seen in that reading since the boom of 2006. Now, last year, a lot happening toward the end of the year. Do you see that trend continuing this year? If so, or if not, why?
Well, which trend are we talking about, Brian? Are we talking about price increase?
Yes.
If you're talking about price increase, yes. But I think it's really important for your listeners to understand that that price increase is not uniform. It varies dramatically. There are actually some markets that, again, continued to lose value last year. You know, so if you broke it down by quartile, by you know, you divided the country into four regions, the West did the best by far, and the Northeast did the worst. And there's probably a 6 or 7% difference. So what has happened is that we have a imbalance in supply and demand in housing, and part of it is because so many people are underwater, or because homes are worth less than when they bought it, even if they're above water, they do not want to list or sell that home. And so what happened is when banks had the robo-signing issue, they slowed down the foreclosure process and then also became more sophisticated and more efficient at doing short sales, doing loan mods, and then you had investors emerge, big investors. For example, Blackstone, which is the second largest private equity firm, has bought $2 billion worth of single-family residences. Carrington Capital, in combination or in joint venture with Oaktree, has bought $1 billion worth of single-family residence. So you got short sales that are being conducted in a more efficient manner now. You have loan mods that are being conducted more efficiently. Those are taking up the delinquent loans. Those are taking up a product that was formerly foreclosed on and dumped on the market. And then you have investors buying up non-performing loans and properties. So you have a heightened degree of demand, and then buyers, I think, over a period of time, we've had household formations exceed new construction. So you have an upward pressure there because of demand exceeding supply. Those things have all conspired to really create a noticeable lack of supply and an imbalance between supply and demand, ergo the increase in the property values. And that has probably been in most major metropolitan markets, although, again, I would suggest that it's not uniform and it is not complete. Some markets have gone absolutely through the roof very quickly, and other markets have gone up gradually. You know, the Portland, Oregon market, probably 5.6% the last 12 months. So that's good. But we still have, we still rank relatively high on foreclosures nationally. I think we're 16th out of 50 states. We're 25th in delinquencies over 90 days. So we still have some issues to go through, but unless new construction picks up dramatically in the next year or two, demand is going to exceed supply, and you're going to continue to see price appreciation. I'm telling people personally, I think price appreciation will be 5 to 6% a year for the next 3 or 4 years. You go 6% through 3 more years, and you're back to where you started.
Back where we were. Well, it'll almost be 10 years, right?
Yeah, that's about right, I guess.
Pat Stone joining us here. And, Pat, the fiscal cliff, which we talked quite a bit toward the end of the year, obviously, forced quite a few deals through, I think maybe more so commercial than residential. And Q1 typically tends to be a little soft. Has that had much of an impact on your numbers?
Interestingly enough, our January order count, especially in our West Coast direct operations and our national lender group, was very, very high, up significantly over December. We have not seen any drop off in our business. Now we are predominantly a West Coast company. We have a national agency group, although that's doing well too. We have about 750 agents around the country. So I have seen nothing yet to indicate any slowdown whatsoever, either in residential, refi, or commercial. Knock on wood, but I haven't seen any slowdown yet.
That's good to hear. Now, with housing on the mend and Republicans playing nice for the time being, why are consumers still lacking confidence? Is it really the payroll tax? I mean, that in and of itself is dampening the confidence of consumers?
No, I don't even – I think that has very little to do with it. Let's just back up and look at this. We have 7.8% unemployment. I mean, despite the fact, I'm going to sound a little bit on the left on this comment, but despite the fact that equities have recovered, despite the fact that readers of the Wall Street Journal may be feeling pretty good right now, the reality is that 7.8% of people looking for a job are unemployed. We also have about 20% of the homes are still underwater. In other words, they're worth less than the mortgage on the home. So we have, a fifth of homes underwater, 7.8% of the population unemployed. We have a non-functioning political system. I haven't met many people or talked to many people in the last few months that felt good about our government and how well it was working. And then we have just a barrage of negative news because, as the old saying goes, if a plane lands on time at the airport, it's not in the news. But anything goes wrong, it's in the news. So. Mm-hmm. You have an environment in which people are still recovering from low employment rate, and they're still looking at the lost value in their homes. People aren't quite confident yet.
Yeah, that's interesting because I saw that certain reporters were citing the payroll tax and that might be the issue, but I mean it was so minimal that I didn't agree with that.
No, there may be. There may be people who will look at that and have a reaction to it. I do not think that is going to contribute meaningfully either way, especially on a negative way to confidence.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, what you said, because there was a story in the Journal this past week talking about how luxury goods manufacturers are looking to the U.S. now as the upper-income Americans start to spend more money, and actually U.S. leading all other areas of the world in high-end goods sales now. So I guess something's turning around.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, one of the facts of a free market is that not all segments of the economy and not all individuals experience the same level of recovery or prosperity.
Pat Stone, Williston Financial and WFG National Title joining us. When we come back, we'll talk about a bill offered up by Ron Wyden and Florida Senator Marco Rubio. And if you're an Oregon State Beaver, you'll really like this one. Stick around.